better listen very carefully.
A good martial artist does not become tense, but ready.
Essentially, at this point, the fight is over.
So you pretty much flow with the goal.
Who is worthy to be trusted with the secret to limitless power?
I'm ready.
Ladies and gentlemen, today's show is brought to you by Parry Athletics, the best pair of training shorts in the game. They do rashies, they do shirts, but what I love is they have shorts for you to roll in as well as shorts for you to chill in. I love them because they're so multi-purpose and they look awesome. Now, you can get your hands on these and you get 20% off with the code BULLETPROOF20 at checkout. Get yours today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another Bulletproof for BJJ podcast. Are uniform policies a scam? Branded gis, branded rashies. Are you just getting gouged by your gym? Or is it a good way to unify the team? Is it good business? Is it a means of income to support the team you love? It's a bit of a hot topic in a way because I had heard someone the other day saying, our gym, we don't mind what you wear. It's about the jiu-jitsu. We don't care about brands. You don't have to buy our stuff. As long as you're dressed appropriately for the class and your uniform is clean, game on.
Yeah.
And they were really calling it out as a way that, you know, and look, it's a tough gig running a gym. And I've trained at gyms where you could not actually roll unless you're wearing the brand stuff. And I thought, oh, it's cool. Brands are cool. And then I started to learn.
Unless you were wearing the gym's merch.
Yeah.
Right.
Even if you had a neutral gi. No. You've got to wear
our gi. You need our team gi.
Yeah. And now, to be fair, they had some rent. They had some borrow gis for casual drop-ins, right? You don't want to necessarily drop $200 or more on a gi for one visit. Like, that's unreasonable. But if you're going to stay there a while and train a bit, sure. But I've trained at other gyms where they just, it's like, yeah, just get on the mat. We don't care as long as you're wearing what you need.
Yeah.
What's been your experience with this, Joe?
Yeah. Funny coming from our time because uniforms weren't a thing, right?
No, it
was like, you got to put the patches on.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Whatever gear you get.
Yeah. You put the, and that was usually the uniform policy. Mm. Put the patch on, whatever you want and you're good. And then things started to get over the years more systemized and gyms would have their own merchandise. And now it's like very easy for a gym to kind of go and, I mean, every gym owner gets fucking 15 DMs a day from supply companies, right?
Dear sir, madam.
Yeah, that's right. Please send order.
Yes.
I like being able to wear whatever. But I also look at those photos of teams where there's a strict uniform policy. You look at AOJ, right? Anyone looks at like Art of Jiu-Jitsu and you're like, wow, the gym looks so cool, looks so nice.
Oh, wow.
It's like, because everyone's toeing the line. Yeah. Everyone's wearing exactly what they should be wearing. The gym's, you know, spick and span, great design. There it is. So in a way, it's like, I think there's a hangover of uniform policies are shit. They're just gyms trying to gouge more money out of you.
Sure.
But then we all really admire when you see a place where everyone's in uniform.
Yeah.
And I don't know, if I'm running a gym, if I got a team, I'm not trying to get it, but I want everyone to look fucking slick. I want that look too for my gym.
Definitely. And, you know, there's definitely ways to do it, right? And there's certain gyms and associations that put themselves as a premium. So they're like, you buy our gi, it's not just your run-of-the-mill gi. It is a really good gi made by this company and that's why you pay more, blah, blah. And look,
that Alliance gi that Adam sold me when I first joined, I was actually a really good gi. I think it's a Storm.
Yeah, I got one too.
Yeah, they're fucking great.
And you know, I love that gi too, right? I've got one still in really good nick, whatever. Two, three years later, still great. That said, there are some gyms that are just pretty staunch about it. Like even to the extent that I went to a no-gi gym and they weren't really happy about me wearing my bulletproof rashie.
Right.
They were like, nah, buy one of our rashies because only – I was like, look, it's a one-off thing. I'm coming to test the waters. This is a red flag for me. Like I'm just trying to find a new place to roll. I'm just coming in to say what's up. Are you not going to let me on the mat? Like I just paid my $30 drop-in fee And now I can't get on the mat. Are you going to give me that $30 back?
I don't know if you guys know who I am.
No, but it was just a funny moment because I was like, you just took $30.
Yeah, I paid you cash.
And
you want another $70 for a rashi or something?
And I leveraged the loss minimization thing. They're like, oh, we don't want to give the $30 back. Okay, you can roll. I was like, you motherfucker, really? So then I just was like, nah, all right, I'm not going to train here. Like it was the manner in which it was done. I feel
That's gouging.
Yeah.
I absolutely think that's gouging because it's kind of like you have to acknowledge that the training equipment that's required to train jiu-jitsu is expensive, it no-gi shorts and a rashi or a gi.
Yeah.
Like the shit costs money. So to demand someone that's dropping in buys it at that time, that's super unfair. To demand that someone that's like coming in for a trial, like I just want to give it a go for a week or two, I think even to demand that they buy it is unfair.
Yeah.
I think it's like totally if you got to be able to either give them a loan one or be like, you can wear whatever you got tonight as long as there's no safety concerns.
Yeah, sure.
Like you're not rocking up with like a denim jacket. It's okay. No, it's a rash guard. I can see it's, sure. You know, safe enough. I think that's super gougy.
Yeah. Look, I guess the way I have thought about it, because I can see both sides of the argument. I can see that gyms need revenue and gyms do make money on gis, right? And so they should be entitled to have that source of revenue, right? And because, you know, it's hard enough to just run a gym and make some money. But what I think is the challenge is that because jiu-jitsu is so big now, you can get a pretty good gi for $100, $120. You know, it's not the best, but it's good enough, right?
Yeah.
So if you're just scrambling to cover the cost of life, but you still want to do jiu-jitsu, you don't want to pay $250 for some primo gi. You know, you don't have any interest in that. You're just trying to get a piece of the action, right? I think that the big uniform brand, all this suits a bigger established gym.
Yeah.
The even though smaller gyms will want to get there, they just want to get people in. So you can see that a smaller gym's probably like
more understanding.
Yeah, just come in, like just get on the mats because they're building.
Yeah, being here is the most important thing.
That's right. They just want the people. And I can understand that if you've got a brand, like if you are an Alliance or a Gracie Baja or whatever gym you might be, AOJ, you want that brand. You want the look of what you do a certain way. It's controlled.
Yeah.
And if you're not willing to participate in that, then that gym's just not for you. I think that's – they don't care. They're kind of, you know what I mean? I'm not saying that these gyms don't care about their people, but if you're not prepared to kind of be a part of what that is and that's what they're selling, then you're going to have to go somewhere else.
Yeah. I also think that like if you say with that Alliance example where they have Storm kimonos or they had Storm kimonos as a supplier.
Yep.
I think that if you have an extremely good supplier and your merchandise is of a high standard, then it's fair to say if you want to train here, you got to get this.
Sure.
Because this is, one, it's our uniform, but also I can guarantee you this is like one of the best gis you're ever going to get.
Yeah.
But when you've got that, like the gym's got ugly merchandise, they haven't invested any money in design.
It's cheap.
They've got some shit logo.
Yeah.
They've put it together, made a bunch of them cheap in Pakistan. Yeah. I'm not saying there's plenty of good ones that come from Pakistan, by the way.
Not hating on that.
No.
So shout out Pakistan.
Yeah, that's right. But you know, you can also shop on price. And when you're shopping on price and just getting cheap stuff, and the gym's like, oh, you got to buy one of ours. And you're like, dude, I've got a fucking show-your roll at home or a scramble gi or whatever that's sick.
And it's better than that.
And you're forcing me to buy this piece of junk.
Yeah.
I think that that's really unfair. So, of course, small gyms can't come in with like the best quality merchandise, pay for a designer, et cetera.
They don't have it.
So I think that in that scenario, they have to be more understanding as well. Right. Like, all right, look, this is our policy. We're not super strict on it.
Yeah.
What I used to say to people here when I was involved with the jiu-jitsu program at Jungle Brothers, people come in and say, oh, I want to come over, but can I wear my other gi because I've got a bunch? Yeah. I say, yeah, it's fine. But check it out. All I ask is that when you're in the market for your next gi, consider getting one of ours.
Yeah,
and maybe buy a rashi like when you know. And people are like, sweet, that's great. And so then it's like on them. You've let them know it's important, but you haven't restricted anyone, you know?
Yeah, and I think the way in which it's done can make all the difference. You know, giving people an opportunity to just suss it out. Like, just see if they even like your place. It's pretty tough to just go, not only are we, it's weird.
It's kind of like a first date.
It's like someone proposing on the first date. Yeah, and then like, look, you're like, whoa.
Look, this is our first, like, I know this, we're just testing the waters, but I want you to co-sign this mortgage with me.
And could I get a blood sample?
Yeah.
What? What the fuck? Cut it out, fucking Billy Bob Thornton. No, you can't wear my blood around your neck in a little vial. That's weird, you fucking vampire. No, it's just a strange thing.
Angelina Jolie could wear my blood around her neck.
Well, if you're into that, I mean, yeah, she does look like a bit of a vampire. She's kind of ageless in ways. No, look, I think here's the tough thing. BJJ gyms are a business, and there's only a few ways that people can run a business, but how you conduct your business really dictates how people engage with it. Mm. And I think the thing that I've seen, which has worked exceptionally well, is an absolute was the model that I didn't even really realize it at the time. It was, in my opinion, a genius move on behalf of Thiago. Now, I don't know if he was the initial idea haver, the brains behind it, but he left the door open. If you're a brown belt or you're a black belt and you came and trained, you just say, hey, man, you don't have to pay. Just come and train. Because he knew that there were all these people who were kind of floating around and maybe they weren't loving their gym. And he just said, hey, you're welcome here. You don't have to pay. Just get on the mat.
It's pretty cool.
He knew that having more black and brown belts on the mat is good for the mat.
Yeah.
Because, you know, these people can share techniques and do whatever. And then I was going in there and I was like, oh, this guy. Hey, I haven't seen you for a couple of years. Where you been? What you doing? Oh, I was out in the wilderness a bit. I wasn't training. I just came in here because it was convenient.
Yeah.
You know, and there's all these little factors that get you as a human that are nice. So let's just step sideways for a second and think about like a cafe, because we love cafes, being the Australians and being in Sydney.
Sydney, baby.
It's what it is. But, you know, when they give you a nice little biscuit and then you don't even –
You're not doing gluten right now.
You don't even fuck with biscuits.
Yeah.
But you're like, oh.
Biscuit.
That's nice. Or maybe sometimes you might have a front of house person at a cafe who comes out and goes, oh, do you want to try this? You're like, oh my goodness. What?
Chef was just whipping up a couple, we had a spare one.
You want you on that? You're like, these guys are fucking awesome. It's just like that little gesture of love. And you're like, I fucking love these guys, you know? And then you're like, I need to tip these motherfuckers, you know? And you just, you know, and then it just builds this relationship.
Yeah.
And it's those small gestures that even though they seem like nothing, and if you're not doing them, you're like, oh, that's a bit of effort. People go, wow, that's so good. And the love, it grows.
Yeah.
The relationship builds just through these kind gestures. And I believe that going to the effort to have like a rent, not a rent-a-gi, but you go, oh, you haven't got a gi? We got a bunch of geese.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a stinky pile of mess. It could just be like, no, we've got some geese. You wear it, get amongst it, have a good experience. No, give it to us. We'll wash it. You don't have to take it. That's all right. You know, just something like that is very simple but makes someone feel welcome.
Yeah.
And I think that not pressuring someone – you know, it's like when you walk into a
shop. There's good sales and there's bad sales.
You walk into a shop and someone goes like, can I help you? Can I help you? Can I help you? You're like, bro, I'm just trying to take it in.
Yeah.
Just get off my ass. I'm just – let me vibe here. You know what I mean? Like, it's just one of those things that I – at least for me, I can respect someone who's good at sales because – I've had to do some selling in my lifetime. And I can also respect a good proprietor, someone who runs their shop well. And you're like, I want to go back there.
Yeah.
I'd just go back to chat to them, you know? That's a good vibe. And so I think that this idea of enforcing like a staunch uniform policy is a bit of a turnoff, at least for me.
Well, yeah, I think when the policy is it's day one and you got to buy it, you got to spend $150, $200 on our shit.
Big commitment.
But I think if the you know, like you can have a policy that's kind of relaxed in that way, right? Mm. And I think that, you know, and I think it's perfectly fine to say, look, man, like if you're just testing the waters here, why don't we just leave it a couple of weeks? But if you sign up and you stay beyond those couple of weeks, you can buy a gi.
Yeah.
I think no issue with that. And if I was like, yeah, I'm committing here, like I'm totally happy to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's a tricky one. I think what also sucks, and this is kind of something to think about for gym owner operators, if you kind of hear that and you're like, yeah, that's not my style at all, I don't want to do that. Well, the worst thing or a shit thing that you can do is to just ignore the uniform thing to the point where someone comes in, they want to join your gym, they start training, but you won't sell them anything.
Yeah.
And you and you just never have the conversation with like, hey man, there's an outfit that needs to be worn and you don't have one.
Yeah.
Let's talk about getting you in one.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the kid that rocks up to soccer training and he's wearing thongs every time. Like
yeah.
coach can be like, mate, you need soccer boots. Like yes. that's an essential like piece of equipment for this game.
What we do.
Yeah. So, you know, in that way, like avoiding the sales process, like not selling to them, that's shit as well.
Yeah.
Because when someone's like, hey, I'm trying to commit here, but I keep wearing this fucking cotton t-shirt, I'm not really feeling like I'm fitting the bill right now.
Yes.
You want me to go online and just browse some shit, or you want me to buy something at Rebel Sport?
People want direction.
That's right.
They do want direction, and it is definitely your responsibility as a gym owner to guide the people. Like, yeah, definitely. And look, it's there's so many things to consider, right? Like just trying to source merchandise can be a freaking headache.
Yeah.
Because they're like, oh yeah, minimum order 500. You're like, I have 10 students. what are you doing to me, right? Like that is a challenge. But you're right in saying that, Joe. I've seen that you've got a gym which is just by like a passionate purple or brown belt. They've got mats. They've got people who are willing to get there, but it's just it's almost like an afterthought.
Yeah, it's like a clubhouse. There's no real system.
Nah, just come. We're here at lunchtimes. We're here at nights. Great training. And you know that, but it definitely becomes less sustainable because you haven't given the people something cohesive to – like a banner to come under.
Yeah. We had a business coach when we first opened our gym.
Yes.
This is, you know, strength gym, right? Not a jiu-jitsu gym. And we had these – we had our first run of T-shirts made,
yep.
just like classic brand shirts. And the coach asked us, like, how many of those are you selling? And we're like, oh, like we sold a few initially, but we're not selling that many. And he said, you want to know why people aren't buying them? And we said, yeah, why? And he said, well, they don't feel like they've earned the right to wear your – because they respect your gym, so they hold it so highly.
Right.
They don't feel like they can go and wear this Jungle Brothers like thing.
Right.
So you know what you should do? You should give them a t-shirt when they sign up.
Right.
And we're like, fuck, that's an interesting take. And we're like, oh, but they cost us. And we're like, oh, no, let's factor that in.
Yeah.
Then we started giving people, and people are like, this is my favorite t-shirt.
Yeah, wear it with pride.
Yeah, and then people are like, man, I see your shirts everywhere in the local area. Like people wearing those shirts. And we realized he was totally right. It was like, of course, there are going to be some people that purchase.
Yeah.
But for a lot of folks, particularly someone who's just joined, they like someone who's just joined your gym doesn't feel like they're
part of a
position to be an ambassador yet.
Right.
But when you say to them, I want you to be an ambassador and here's how you do it.
Yes.
You know, and I'm not saying give them a rashie, charge them.
Yeah, sure.
But be like, hey, we got a discount. When it's your first week, you get 25% off and you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. And you know, these are really high quality and shit, like sell it.
It is clever. That is clever, and it's a good piece of marketing.
Yeah, and I would say that most people would be very happy to make that purchase, which is a good sale, right? When they feel they get value, you get value, everyone's happy.
Yeah.
A bad sale is when you force someone into a corner.
Oh,
you can't step on the mats until you've purchased these items here.
Bye.
Yeah, and they're like, and you're like, I've already got your credit card on file. I can just run it through. Yeah, go on, ooh. Fuck. And you just bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
That's a bad sale.
Yeah, yeah. No, actually, so what's the name of the friend of T's? He's back. He's training. He gave the olives and the to Dill the other week.
Oh, Petros.
Petros. I was in the park. It's locked down, so we couldn't train, all this stuff, right? I was in the park doing some distance training with some people. And it was not long after the new hoodies had come out from JB's. And it was – they had the dark green. The
forest green.
The forest green.
Yeah.
And they're very distinct. And, you know, not everyone's got them, right? And that was the new. And then I see this motherfucker walking through the park repping JB's. And I'm like, who the fuck is this guy? I've never seen this guy. This guy isn't part of the tribe. And I'm like, no shame. I'm like, hey. You wearing the JB's hoodie. Who the fuck are you, man? You want to come around here wearing them colors, representing gang science? And I was like, what's your name? And he was like, oh, yeah, I'm friends with Tiora. Tiora hooked me up. And I was like, that's okay. You may put quickly, handstand.
Vetted.
Hold that handstand. Okay, now you have 50 push-ups. Now you may walk on. But it was just because that brand, your brand, the Jungle Brothers brand, is distinct. The design. Who does the
We got a guy, Johan.
So Johan.
Same guy that designed Bulletproof.
Bulletproof, right. Yep. Because I thought it had been rotated, the you know, the different, you know, the monkey fist and the tiger face. And they're cool designs, guys, needless to say. But it's very distinct.
Yeah.
And it, what is cool about it is, you know, it's kind of like Fight Club. You see someone else who's like kind of part of the tribe or has been part of the tribe. They're wearing the JB's thing. You're like, hey. Hey,
yeah.
You know, there's an understanding there, which is very cool. So I don't want people to misunderstand this chat as like we're shitting on, you know, people trying to build a brand. It's important. It's a part, yeah, part like, of a business.
Yeah, absolutely.
But how you run that.
How you do it well. Like build a good brand, get good, like as an example, Johan's an incredible designer. We've been very lucky to be working with him since day one. Well, not since day one, but early on. But the design, a design that he makes for us, becomes an asset for the life of the business. Mm. And we can release that shirt in 10 years' time and be like, oh, this is a throwback. You know, so the $500 we paid him to like, can you design a new t-shirt for us, is an investment that pays off more and more over time.
Yeah.
Versus like, you got some logo that you got on Fiverr.com.
Sure.
And you just throw it on a t-shirt and you go, here's the new gym t-shirt. And people are like, well, looks a bit average.
Yeah.
You know, so there's, I think, try and do it well, you know.
So what would be our best advice going forward for, say, a smaller to medium gym that isn't part of a big chain? How do they go about approaching the kind of gi, no gi, uniform brand thing? What would be the steps, you think?
I would think, if I was doing it, this is what I'd do. I would lay out a piece of paper and I would write on it, here's the fucking process. Someone new signs up, this is what happens. They get to use a lone gi and a lone rash guard for their first 7 days. After that 7 day period, if they're continuing with their membership, then they need to purchase a package, which is a gi and a rash guard and a pair of shorts, and that comes at this discounted rate. And you tell them, look, there's equipment required to train here. I'm not trying to gouge you here. I'm going to lend you this shit for a week so you can test it out, or 2 weeks, whatever. Mm-hmm. You take it home and wash it, but this is an old gi you can use and an old rashie. But then if you're going to stick around, you're going to make this purchase. I think that's totally fair. So you've got a process. They know you've got a process. Everyone's expectations are clear. Mm. I wouldn't do a big run of gear because you can't afford it.
Yep.
So I would say like 2 times a year, I would do a pre-order sale.
Cool.
I'd say, guys, I'd print out some mock-ups, put them on the gym wall, say, we're doing this gi, we're doing these rashies. Get your orders in by the end of this month. You have a fucking clipboard with a bunch of lines on it. People come, put me up for one medium rashy, one medium shorts, right? Yeah. You do that, you charge everyone at that time. So you go, cool, all the orders are in. Everyone gets charged. You got this chunk of cash.
So now you can do it.
Then you go to the manufacturer. That's right. And you price it based on how many pre-orders you get so that you know you can cover your costs.
Right,
yeah. And then you get a few extra, mm-hmm. but you don't go overboard.
Yep.
And then hopefully you break even. But the beauty, you know, maybe you make a little bit. Maybe you make 10% on it. But the beauty is you got uniforms for everyone. People
looking good.
You got a little bit of supply for the new people showing up, but you haven't had to spend cash that you don't have.
Yeah.
And it's so easy to go, oh, go on, let's just do it. We'll just knock out 100 of these. I reckon we'll sell them over the next year. Yeah, you never do.
It doesn't happen.
You always end up with a back room full of shit. And what happens is then 2 years later, you still got a back room full of shit. You come up with a new design because that old one sucks. So then the old ones are redundant now. Yeah. And then you got another 10 in the back room and it just compounds over time.
And so little sidebar on that, proper branding's key, right? Like getting that designer, like, or if you know someone who knows someone, get someone who really knows logos or design and get them, you know, like, yeah, we were really lucky to get Johan to design the fist for us. And, you know, it's become its own icon, which is great.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, that time and energy you put in doesn't expire. It does become that brand asset. So
yeah. Gets cooler and cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get someone good at the beginning. I mean, look, you're talking about paying a few $100 or maybe you're talking about paying
$1,500,
$2,000 for like a proper logo and a brand package, colors, fonts. Fuck, man. You're only going to do it once.
And it goes.
And that's going to be on your shit forever.
Yeah.
You know, and if you do the cheap one, then maybe you want to change it in a couple of years' time anyway, and then you're just spending again.
Yes.
So I, in that regard, I take the buy once, cry once mentality.
It's a great saying. I did learn it from Joe. Where did you get that, Joe?
Where did I get that from? It was from a coach I had many years ago. Okay. And he was talking about hunting equipment.
Yeah.
And I've always held the same. I've actually always held that same for tools.
White goods.
White goods. But white goods, you get skimmed sometimes.
Sometimes.
You can buy the expensive one, but still a piece of shit with a flashy brand. But if you go to Bunnings and they got like the cheap pliers or the expensive ones.
Well, rein it in, Captain Dad.
Get the expensive ones. Be careful.
Let's not start the Bunnings chat.
That's all a topic for another discussion.
All right, folks, there it is. But before you go, we love you a bunch. And look, I think it's one of those things when you, I've had this before, here in Australia, at least, it's a pretty important thing. It's a minor gesture. When you let somebody in traffic, say you're in a crowded Bunnings car park and you know someone wants
Saturday to. Saturday afternoon, I can feel it.
It's packed. It's heaving.
Is it Walmart? No, it's not Walmart. What's there? It's the American.
Home Depot. Right? You just, you know, you see someone trying to indicate and you just go, you give them the wave and they go, great. And they turn, and as they turn, they wave back. They give you the customary thank you, preach, you know, appreciate it. Yeah, the shuckers, they throw it up. Now, there's nothing worse. I go from a benevolent Buddha of a god to all may go. You know, people can't get a turn. You're like, let a couple through. Why not? I'm generous as hell. If I wave someone through and I don't get the customary little finger lift or a little nod, I now want to follow that person and murder them and leave their body in the car.
Yeah.
Set the car on fire, blow the fuck up, you know.
Kill your children, children. Yeah.
Just Genghis Khan. sow the fields with souls. Destroy all the generations. I don't know why, what it is about this kind of customary, you give a little bit and all you want is just a tiny little bit of acknowledgement. And what that tiny little bit of acknowledgement looks like from you, my good friends, is a like, a subscribe, and also listening to this on audio, go and give us a 5-star rating. Why? Because it's just the least little bit you can do. So if you're just listening on your iPod or you're in the car, whatever it might be, wherever you are.
iPod, I love that.
Well, you know, iPhone. Yeah. Hey man, I won't go into it. We'll tell that another time. However you consume this information, please give us that little gesture, that little wave, so that we can share this with more good people like yourselves. I also don't have to track you down and burn your car.
Yeah.
Simple.
Simple.
Thanks, man.
Cheers, guys.